Sunday morning, 1:23. We're going to have a teaching this morning on intercessory worship protocols. We're going to have a lot of scripture this morning, so. All right, the first one I want to look at is Psalms 117. One of my confessions is that the Lord raises up true intercessors to intercede for this ministry, people that are after God's heart and mind, not people that just want to spiritually gossip and tear down the leadership, but people that truly want to further the kingdom of God, and they'll pray true, they'll stay true. So you can be doing that with me if you would. Raising up true intercessors. Okay, Psalms 117 says, "Praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord." If you'll notice the Psalms, a lot of his Psalms start off with that. Praising God. You want to come before the Lord? You got to butter him up a little bit. You know what I'm saying? I was thinking about a parent, you know, and a child. A kid busts in and starts demanding they want this and they want that. They'll all find themselves grounded or something. You know what I'm saying? But someone that comes and said, "You're the best dad. You're the best mom. I just love you so much." Okay, what do you want? Think about that. God's the same way. Okay, kid, what do you want? You name it. It's yours. Isn't that the proper way to come? All right, we'll keep going. You'll see that. I read this, I don't know if it's Wednesday night or whenever, but we're just going to read a couple scriptures. This is 2 Chronicles chapter 20. just a few scriptures here. Now Jehoshaphat had gotten bad news that this big army was coming against him, and he was afraid, you know. This is what he did. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head and with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohites and of the children of the Korites stood up to praise the Lord of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." When he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that they should praise the beauty of his holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments. How'd he do that? Angels. Against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. See, he inhabits our praises, right? And they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, every one helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them that found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away, and they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil, it was so much. This is supernatural. Why? How? Worship. Praise. It sent angel armies ahead. There's no telling what they saw. Yeah, scared them so bad. They were so confused. They killed each other. All right, Psalms 103. Verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Good teeth, gums. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that oppress. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. See what they're saying? They're buttering him up good. Telling him how great he is, how great he does everything. Instead of griping. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass as the flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone. The place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Last night we had a lot of fireworks. It went on till about 1 o'clock because I was up. And I said, Lord, I finally just said, angels, go now and tell them to please that there's people trying to sleep. There's church tomorrow. So thank you for going and telling them. And it wasn't a few minutes. It's all quiet. And I'm talking right there, right by the window. I mean, right there. It wasn't like far away. It was big booms. See, they're there to minister for the heirs of salvation. God put them there to help us out. All right, as David begins in this psalm, he blesses the Lord. He begins to recount God's faithfulness and goodness, and it leads to deliverance. All right, let's look at, we're going to look at a few here in a row, just the first verses where you'll see what I'm talking about, 104. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. All right, 105:1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Psalms 106:1. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Psalms 107:1. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. God, do you feel that lift up? Mm-hmm. I just felt the Spirit go all over my shoulders in just that moment. This is what that praise coming out of your mouth. It looses the Spirit of God and his angels to work in your behalf when you come to pray. You don't just come in and start saying, well, Lord, so-and-so said so-and-so and this, all this stuff that we go through. No. Protocol. Or coming before the king. What do they do when they come before the king? They're flat. Or they kneel, bow, you know. Some come into God's presence like it's the complaint department. Like a lot of stores are going through right now. After Christmas. I'm telling you, who wants to grant a request to a griping discontent? It just spreads stink, doesn't it? It just makes anger and, all right? How God basks in our thankful attitude. David sets everything up by recounting God's goodness. He reminds God of how good he is. I believe God will not hold back anything from someone like this. There are certain protocols with God to receive from him. Psalms 100, we just sang it. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, his truth endureth to all generations. You know what this does? It puts you in the back seat and God in the front seat. He's the one to be acknowledged. We're not coming before him because we're important. We're not busting in and saying, listen to me. I'm so-and-so. No. That's not the right way to do things. No, we make it look like he's the most important thing that there is. And recount to him, you've been faithful to me my whole life, and you've healed me, you've supplied me, you're just the greatest, Lord. All right, come here, tell me what you want. You don't want to be afraid. See, God doesn't want us to be afraid to the fact like you got a dad that swings a mean belt and you're afraid to come. Or anytime you do, you're in trouble. That's not the way God is. He's a doting heavenly father. All right. There is a way to enter into intercession, and I believe it's this way. If you read 5 Psalms a day, you will finish them in a month. If you read 1 proverb a day, you'll finish it in a month. There is a way to approach him and a way to receive answers from him. There's proper protocols. If you come before any sovereign, which that's going to be going by the wayside and probably all over the world, there'll be no more sovereigns because they hijacked every sovereign, fucking kings and queens. The deep state killed off all the true royal bloodlines and took their places. So, but anyway, they get the respect that they're due. Shouldn't God get more so than that? A dignitary comes to town, you got your special cars with the special flag on the limo and all that stuff. They have their embassies when they come to this country. Have a special dinner at the White House. All right, let's read some more scriptures. Isaiah 56. We don't just pray to pray. Praise is part of our strategy. It's part of our arsenal. All right, 56:7. Even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar. For mine house is shall my sorry, for mine house shall be called an house of prayer for all people. Now you know why Jesus was so upset when he saw the money changers in there. Walmart had their table set up in there, you know. PetSmart had the animals selling animals. That's just a funny. Anyway, he overturned it. He said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. And you've made it a den of robbers, a den of thieves. Yeah. Psalms 50. Verse 23. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. See, when you come with the right protocols, you're going to see salvation. What's that? Soundness, wholeness, preservation, nothing missing, nothing broken. I like that. I like that. All right, Psalms 149. I encourage you to read five Psalms every day. Just get acquainted with the protocols. I think out of every book there is, Psalms has probably the most about praising, thanksgiving. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. To execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people. To bind their kings with chains, their nobles with fetters of iron. To execute upon them the judgments written. This honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. Power. Power. Kleenex. All right. Let's keep going here. Back to Isaiah, but this is Isaiah 30. Kind of all over the place with the scriptures, so. This is 30:27. Behold, the name of the Lord cometh from far, burning with his anger, and the burden thereof is heavy. His lips are full of indignation, his tongue as a devouring fire. And his breath as an overflowing stream shall reach the midst of the neck to sift the nations with the sieve of vanity, and there shall be a bridle in the jaws of the people causing them to err. Just think about if we could get everyone in the world at a certain time to just fall on their face and start singing praises to God. I've heard people talk about if your love vibration was high enough, the enemy would be gone. That may be so, but I'm just going, okay. But I believe, you know, God would take them out in a swoop. Those that are not going to follow him. Ye shall have a song as in the night when a holy solemnity is kept, and gladness of heart as when one goeth with a pipe to come into the mountain of the Lord, to the mighty one of Israel. The Lord shall cause his glorious voice to be heard and shall show the lightning down of his arm with the indignation of his anger and with the flame of a devouring fire, with scattering and tempests and hailstones. For through the voice of the Lord shall the Assyrian be beaten down, which smote with a rod. See, people cannot forget. This isn't just about Q. It's just not just about the alliance. It's not about the truthers. It's not about all of that. It's about God and his plan. And in every place where the grounded staff shall pass, which the Lord shall lay upon him, it shall be with tabrets and harps, and in battles of shaking will he fight with it. For Tophet is ordained of old, yea, for the king it is prepared. He hath made it deep and large, the pile thereof is fire and much wood. The breath of the Lord, like a stream of brimstone, doth kindle it. Yeah. The Lord is mighty. Praise warfare. Laughter keeps warfare from being too bummer downer. Laughter. I'm talking about your just ha ha ha, but just Holy Ghost laughter is the greatest. But if you can't do anything else, ha ha anyway. Keep your mood light, okay, when you're praying, all right? It also brings light into the situation. Changes the atmosphere. Laughter. All right. All right, Proverbs, or Psalms 32:7. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Songs do lift you up. All right, Proverbs 15:13. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. We're not carrying the whole load. We're only coming alongside to help someone bear a burden. You know, bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Depression, care, concern when praying for others will drain your spiritual strength. Yeah. You are never to take on the whole burden. You're there to help. Like I told you, they got to bring in the groceries, so you go grab a sack and you help them. You're not taking on the whole burden. See, this is what I don't appreciate about most. They want you to pray, pray, pray. Well, they sit and watch Hallmark movies. I'm telling you, you're there to help, not to carry their whole load. They've been taught that way. Contact every prayer chain across the country to pray for you. You know, I don't see that in scriptures, really. I mean, we're to pray for one another and bear our burdens, but I don't really see that. It says, you know, when you got a thing, go to your father in secret, and your father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Yeah. Anyway. We need God's perspective. All right, Psalms 37. The wicked plotteth against the just and gnashes upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bow shall be broken. I like that one. That's good. Turns it around on them. Praising will help you to transcend into joy. We can't get too heavy in this. Like I said, we're not there to shoulder their burden and everybody else's too. We're not. That's why a lot of times I just try to get them to agree with me in prayer or something like that, where they are shouldering the responsibility. It's not all on me or you, okay? Zephaniah. The Lord thy God is in the midst of thee, is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. Well, if he does it, how much more should we do it? While we enter his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise, be thankful unto him and praise his name. It sets you up to have his ear. All right, Luke 10. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you, notwithstanding in that in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. The focus isn't on the demons are subject to us. The focus is on your names are written in heaven. So when you pray, keep that in perspective. Because you know what? There are people, and we know of one, that I believe she became so burdened with the people that it got her, the devil was able to snatch her life. You got to have the joy. And you got to realize as an intercessor, you're not the end-all, be-all for somebody. You're not. So I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I just want the best of the best of the best. If not, just don't bother with me. I'd rather pray for myself than to have somebody pray for me wrong. Keep the joyful perspective. In our intercession, we must always follow the Spirit. It is not to be by the flesh. We're to let the Holy Spirit lead in this. You know, sometimes you sit down, like someone will ask me to pray for them, and I'll say, okay, what I do is when I go to my regular time, before I go to bed, I'll pray in the Spirit. I usually do in the morning too, but I'll pray in the Spirit for a while, just do my puzzle. And if, you know, I'll have a list here, maybe people have asked me to pray, and I'll just see if the Lord will take hold to any of it. You can tell when the Holy Spirit takes hold with you over a certain situation. And sometimes he doesn't. And I feel like I fulfill my obligation without me feeling like I have to go to prayer specifically for that person. I'll say, okay, Holy Spirit, I'm here to pray for anyone that you would have me pray for. What about this one or what about that one? We're not obligated to pray for everybody. We can't. Okay, when going to prayer for another, praise and worship is good. It puts us into the right mindset to allow the Holy Spirit to be able to lead us in our intercession. So when you come with the right protocol, then you're in the right place for God to be able to speak to you. The Holy Spirit can prompt you what to pray and what to do instead of just going into it cold turkey. Our goal is to join up, right? Mm-hmm. To join up. There's times I'll pray and I don't have anything about anything. I guess I'm just edifying myself. You know, praying in the Spirit will do that. It'll give you strength, like pumping spiritual weights. It'll build up your faith. Build up your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. But sometimes there'll be a join up. Okay, this is Matthew 11. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. See, intercession, God will supernaturally hook up. All right, the other one is Romans 8, which y'all well know, but we'll read it again. 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. I've had several occasions where the Lord has had me, someone has asked me to pray. And while I'm praying in the Spirit, the Lord will give me a word about their condition. They're asking us to pray a certain way. I had one in particular that it was a genetic or a, how do you put it, a generational curse from someone asked me to pray for their daughter-in-law. It was a generational curse on the father's side that was enforcing the condition. I gave them what I had, I told them, and I told them, you're redeemed from the curse. So what they do with it after that, as far as I'm concerned, after that, my hands are off, it's off of me, off, You cannot continue to carry the burden, and try to get them to do it, and have you done this? You give the word, and once it's released to them, you've done your part, it's on them now. And they can go to the Lord and squawk about it, and the Lord will say, well, I gave that word, and it was delivered to you, why didn't you do it? Okay? See, that takes the burden off of you and onto them. Soon as your part is done, this is a temporary thing, like carrying in the groceries. It's a temporary thing. It's not something you just, okay. Now, if you are a personal intercessor, that's a little different story. Over a ministry, whatever. But I'm talking about people just asking you to pray. People say that stuff all the time. Always want you to pray. Well, we're just a few of the people that do seriously pray. Right. Most people don't pray for me. Thank you. I would rather no prayer than incorrect prayer. Yeah? If you're burdened down, you will not be clear to hear. Clear all that stuff out of the way by praise and worship. Get your focus on God and the one that answers the prayer. The one that joins up. We need to make a connection. All right? This is an essential part of intercessory prayer. Successful intercessory prayer. All right, Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Yeah. And his righteousness and all these things. Yeah. We're seeking first the kingdom. We're not allowing our emotions to get in the way. Singing is an excellent way to focus on the kingdom, to get our focus right and where it needs to be to enter into the presence of the king. Protocol. All right. We read Psalms 100 a while ago. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Yeah. Gates here means an opening. Reading through the Old Testament, you will see some references to the gates of the city. When somebody, like a mayor or whatever, they'll give somebody the key to the city, Gates are places important decisions are made. Like the king, they'd meet in the gate and they'd settle disputes and make decisions about things in the city gate. It makes it or breaks it for success as we intercede. Probably too in mapping, taking out the gates, Satan's gates, where he's erected his places. Okay? All right, let's look at Isaiah 60. It's just a place of really authority. You could say the Capitol or the courthouse or the whatever. All right. Verse 18. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders. But thou shalt call thy walls salvations and thy gates praise. Yeah, we need a whole lot of stuff done in our city for sure. Like David proclaimed how great his God was and how faithful he was, we must proclaim to him also what he is to us, what he means to us. He is who he is, and he will become for us and for those we intercede for what we have proclaimed. Sets of precedence. You're the delivering God. You are the faithful God. You're the one that tears down strongholds and builds up a stronghold for the righteous. There's all kinds of ways, all right? Just like Q said, learn our comms. That is what I would say to you today. Look at those who are in the Faith Hall of Fame and look at how they approached God. Look at the victories they've won and follow those comms. How do we come to God? All right, we're going to look at one more scripture. And I've got some things to share with you. Okay, 2 Chronicles 7. Back here. 14, 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. All right. We'll give you a list of things. First, come in humility. Second, repent of individual or corporate sin. Like if we're going to map things, repenting of the sin of the people that dwell there would be real important. Just think about it. I've heard different stories about like Indian tribes where there was mass murder of these Indian tribes and different things like that. There's blood on the land. And see, that blood cries out to God. We don't notice it. We don't see it. But God sees things differently than we do. And sometimes sins have to be repented of. Sometimes, like Daniel repented for his nation when really he had no blame of his own. But he repented. Ask God to heal our land. Let God give you the plan, like the spiritual mapping plan. Like Billy Graham's ministry, they pray 24/7. This is what God told them to do. She's to help the prayers. That's what Phil Haversham, or whatever it is, that was his ministry. He passed that mantle before he went to be with the Lord, that just a few days later. He passed the mantle to Billy Graham to help the prayers. And I remember having a dream about that she, in the dream, it was people getting ready in these beautiful robes and things. And she was wondering what was going on, and they were all excited because they were preparing to meet the Lord. They were putting on their bride clothes, or whatever you call it. Beautiful clothes. It's symbolic. Help the prayers. The Lord's coming. Help the prayers. All right? And they do what God's told them to do. We have a part to do, but we don't have any other part to do. It's just like I'm on Fox and I'm over the Permian Basin, but nowhere else. Now, prophetic, that's different, but apostolic, that's it. The Lord even gave us a word through Danny about that. Nowhere else. I'm not seeking a platform. I'm not seeking anything else, anywhere else. We have our part, and we stick with our part. Because when you put everybody together that's obeying God, hopefully, it'll cover everything. I hear this. I've heard this several times about people that are going beyond and doing big things, and they feel so insufficient that they're not doing enough. And I'm thinking, you're not called to save everyone and to do everything for everybody. And so if God gives us one person to pray for, then pray for that one person. Don't be burdened down with the other. Um, Are we to go about telling everyone about what we're interceding about? No. No. This is a responsibility, being an intercessor. Here's a few things. Discretion. Faithfulness. A servant's heart. Spirit-led. Teachable. House in order. Of a sound mind. Discipline and study of the word and prayer. Kind, not harsh, and a tither. Those are just some, that to me, that's just normal Christian protocols, if you know what I'm saying. See, if a person is disciplined in these areas, more than likely they're going to be able to be trusted. All right? How can anarchy be prevented? Agree with the leadership of the vision's leadership, of the leadership of the vision. Is that right? The visions. Agree with the leadership vision. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Whether you understand it or not. And if you don't understand it, then go have a talk with them. Get it straight. Instead of, this is what starts church splits. People don't understand that. All right, loyal and committed to the leadership placed over you. Know your boundaries, what is appropriate or not to speak. Document your intercessory prayer times. Keep a prayer journal. Date them. I do that because the Lord gives me words, and sometimes I hold on. One of them I held on for 10 years or so. Sometimes I never give them. But I do. I write it down, so I've got it. If the Lord calls on me, now deliver that word to them. All right? You don't have to wonder, when did I pray that? Or when did the Lord do that? So you've got it documented. All right? Set boundaries. Write them down and stick with them. You're not just there to pray, but God has placed you there for a specific purpose. This isn't just to kill time. Yeah. This is a calling. All right. Communication is good between the leader and the intercessor. This will prevent going rogue. This is why I have encouraged for us to say and pray the same thing so that we stay on target. Like we talked about, was it last Sunday or Wednesday night? I don't remember. About following the leader. Wednesday. Yeah. All right. And if you can't, then communicate with them instead of going and gossiping. That's how church splits start. Follow the flow of the Spirit. Weeping, laughing, clapping, proclaiming. This is in reference when you're praying as a group. I'm reading the, I'm just about through with it. Possessing the Gates of Your Enemy with Cindy Jacobs. She's been on C. Peter Wagner's, she's a prophetic intercessor, so she's been on his private council while he was alive, but also she's been all over the world doing prayer conferences, and they've prayed over strongholds and different things in cities. And so she just absolutely stresses that when you're in a group, you're to move as one. It's not time to jump up and start prophesying and doing a bunch of stuff, churchy crapola. It's a time for flowing with the Spirit as a whole, not just doing your own thing like we see in so many churches. We've seen so much of that kind of stuff. Now, I know there's a time where the Holy Spirit moves and the pastor allows for people to step out and do things, and I that's fine. But a lot of times it's just a rogue thing here and there. But when it comes to intercessory prayer, they're there for a purpose, and it's not for one person to stand out and hog the show and do everything. So if you find yourself in an intercessory prayer group, which we don't have that right now, everybody defers to one another. In other words, it's supposed to be following the Spirit. What the Spirit says we need to be praying for at that particular time over whatever we're praying about. We need specific instructions, not just well, I'm praying over here and I'm praying over here. It's more like a like the petitions and proclamations we lay out. We have a sense of what we are praying for over our nation, over our state. Okay? Does that make sense? Okay. All right, follow the leader if you can't. All right. Clean hands and a pure heart, and God's order prevailing. You know, if you've got anything going on, you're fighting with someone, or you're in upset and there's bad blood between, you know, there's things you need to settle before you go to intercession. And you have to understand, the enemy targets, see? You start going in these areas. You want to make sure you're where you need to be. Okay. Over the years attending church, we've seen things so out of order. I'm amazed that anything has ever been accomplished. Those that do try to maintain order are criticized harshly. I can understand why Paul wrote the epistles on church order, so badly needed. When divine order is in place, then the gifts of the Spirit will manifest decently and in order. Brother Kenneth E. Hagin wrote a powerful book, Plans, Purposes, and Pursuits. He goes into all the wacky things that go on in church and how much of it is of the flesh and how it should be led by the Spirit. It ought to be a book that everyone has to read just because it puts things in perspective and it lets you know this is God's ministry, this is God's show, this is God's church, this is God's plan. And so we're getting on board with Him. We're not just doing our thing because there ain't nothing to the, our thing. It's just a dead end. Okay. All right.